Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
Hi, this is Catherine coming to you from Ann Arbor, Michigan, where I'm mulling over my own Can't Let It Go, the grammatical debate over Taylor Swift's new album title. This pod was recorded at
1:27 p.m. on Wednesday, April 24th.
Things may have changed by the time you hear this, but as a former D.C. think tank editor, I will still be advocating for the Department of Tortured Poets so it can join the ranks of government acronyms like DOD and DHS. Enjoy the show!
It's a very DC take on the new album.
Very DC, but it is a good new album. I'll give them that. Hey there, it's the NPR Politics Podcast. I'm Tamara Keith. I cover the White House.
I'm Susan Davis. I cover politics.
And we've got Shaylee Rager here from Montana Public Radio. Hello.
Hello.
And today we are talking about the Senate map in 2024, in particular, one race in the state of Montana. Democrats hold narrow control of the chamber now, but Republicans appear poised to take the majority. Democratic incumbent John Tester of Montana is one of the Republicans' top political targets. Shaylee, you just finished a story about this race. Tell us about Tester and what makes his reelection so difficult this time around.
Sure. Yeah. Senator John Tester is a Democrat in Montana seeking a fourth term in the U.S. Senate. He is also right now the last Democrat holding statewide office in Montana. People probably think of Montana as a red state, but we have a long history of being more of a purple state. We had a Democrat in our governor's office for two decades. But in 2020, we saw Republicans sweep every statewide office. In 2022, Republicans picked up a supermajority in the state legislature. So we've certainly become a more red state in recent elections. And that's the environment that John Tester is facing right now in his reelection campaign. He's been identified as a very vulnerable Democrat in the U.S. Senate. So all eyes and a lot of focus from national Republicans is on Tester and trying to unseat him in this election.
Yeah, and this is not the first time he's been identified as a vulnerable Democrat, but he came out ahead previously. Who is he most likely to face in the general election?
So his top challenger right now is Tim Sheehy. He's backed by the National Republican Senatorial Committee Chair Steve Daines, who is actually also from Montana. So we have the person who's leading GOP efforts to take back the Senate based in Montana, from Montana, taking on his counterpart, John Tester. Sheehy is a political newcomer. He doesn't have a ton of name recognition in Montana. He hasn't held public office here before. He's multimillionaire, can also self-fund his campaign. So yeah, he's making the rounds, introducing himself to Montanans, and will likely be Tester's challenger in November.
Sheehy has also been a bit on the defense in recent weeks, dealing with sort of an unusual story involving a gun incident some years ago.
Right. Tim Sheehy was cited for discharging his firearm in a national park when he was in Glacier National Park with his family in 2015, before he was even close to entering the political sphere. The citation says that Sheehy discharged the firearm accidentally, and then a bullet was lodged in his forearm. We also know on the campaign trail that Sheehy has talked about having a bullet lodged in his arm from his time as a Navy SEAL in active combat. So when the Washington Post asked Tim Sheehy about this inconsistency in where this bullet came from, he says that he lied to the National Park Ranger who gave him the citation. Sheehy says he was worried that the bullet that he says he got in active combat was a result of friendly fire. He was worried about an investigation into his platoon mates. He wanted to avoid that investigation. I will note that Sheehy says that what happened is he fell and injured himself on a hike. He was at the hospital. Hospital staff told him they're required to report any bullet wounds to law enforcement, and that triggered this investigation from the park ranger. However, after the initial Washington Post story came out, the National Park Service did release more records from 2015, and a summary from the park ranger at that time said he was responding to a reported gunshot at this hiking trail before Sheehy got to the hospital. So there are still some inconsistencies that we haven't yet seen a resolution to. Sheehy is not releasing his medical records. And, you know, certainly as someone who's new to Montana voters and trying to introduce himself, this is a big hurdle that he's going to have to get over in the next few months.
And as if there weren't enough drama and variables in this race, there is also a third-party candidate.
That's right. Sid Dowd is a Libertarian running in this race. He's the chair of the Montana Libertarian Party. And Libertarians have found support in Montana in the past.
I've talked to Tester earlier in the year, and he had this joke where he said, in Montana, we have Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and they're all Libertarians. In that this is going to be a really tight race. And it is quite possible that if John Tester has a chance to win this race, he might not get over 50% to do it. I don't think he's ever won election with more than 51% of the vote. His elections are always on the margins. And having a third party candidate, we've been talking about it a lot on the national ticket, but this matters a lot in races like the Montana Senate race, where a libertarian style candidate, depending on their caliber and quality, can draw 2, 3, 4, 5% of the vote. And that can matter a whole lot in a race where if John Tester can manage to win, and I think in some ways he could be considered the underdog in this race, considering the broader political structures of 2024, he might need a libertarian type candidate on the ballot if that candidate is going to be able to pull from the right and against Sheehy.
I want to dig a little bit more into who John Tester is, both his reputation here in Washington and Shaley. How does he present himself back home in the district?
Sure. Senator John Tester has long been known as a farmer from a really small rural town in Montana. And he has long been a plain-spoken, down-home type person who presents himself that way to his constituents, to voters. You know, he's never short on jokes about only having 7 fingers. He lost 3 fingers to a childhood meat grinding accident. He's known to use swear words on occasion when he's talking passionately about politics. And he's really presented himself as a moderate who knows what it's like to live and work in Montana and who can relate to the average person.
He doesn't like physically present in what you would consider the like Hollywood typecast of a United States senator. You know, he's kind of slovenly, and I think he would describe himself that way. Like, he's not slick-suited. He has this very characteristic flat-top Marine-style haircut. He's not someone that would like to ever be seen as looking or going Washington, and makes a big point in D.C. to note that he's almost always back home and still has a working farm. And especially when it's like planting season or other types of the farm cycle, he spends more time back at home. And I think that, look, Tester's also a very savvy politician. He is also a former chair of the Senate Democrats campaign operation. He has run national political strategy for the Senate Democrats. Like, he's a small rural state senator, but he has a very strong grasp of national Democratic Party politics, even if he presents himself as sort of a down-home rural senator.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll have more on the national Senate map when we get back.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
Jasmine Morris here from the StoryCorps podcast. Our latest season is called My Way. Stories of people who found a rhythm all their own and marched to it throughout their lives. Consequences and other people's opinions be damned. You won't believe the courage and audacity in these stories. Hear them on the StoryCorps podcast from NPR.
Hey, I hear you have a birthday coming up. Yeah, you. If you're listening to this, that means you have a birthday coming up eventually. And here at Life Kit, we want it to be a special one.
Magic can happen and good luck can happen and serendipity can happen if we're open to it.
How to have a good birthday, even if you're not a birthday person. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Why did Cola Scola write a bonkers, extremely fictionalized play about Mary Todd Lincoln,
Well, you know, it was 2020 and we were all so isolated. I just started doing research. But the truth is, I just thought of it.
We'll talk about that and more on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
And we're back. Shaley, are there any issues that are already bubbling up as like the big issues in this race?
Yeah, that's a great question. We definitely see immigration as a top issue in Montana. People may be a little confused by that. We do border Canada and not the southern border, but it has emerged as a top issue. We've seen John Tester release some campaign ads. He's a more moderate Democrat in these ads. He has turned harder to the right on immigration. He talks about, opposing President Joe Biden's policies on immigration. John Tester posted a video of himself to social media pressing Secretary Mayorkas on immigration. And that was a big vote for John Tester when he voted with Democrats to end the impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas. And Republicans are going to use that against him. We certainly see that as a big issue. Federal spending is important to Montanans. They care about the deficit. And yeah, we're certainly seeing John Tester having to really moderate and even lean to the right on a lot of these issues.
Sue, I am hoping that you can help put this Montana race into some context. That is, control of the Senate is really on the line this year. It is very narrowly held right now by Democrats. And as we say, the map is not so good for Democrats this year.
No, I mean, control of the Senate is absolutely in contention, and it leans towards Republicans. Senate Democrats have to basically do the political equivalent of pitching a perfect game to even have the hope of holding on to a 50-50 Senate majority. If you think about it this way, right now they have a 51-49 majority. Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, when he announced that he would retire, basically took West Virginia off the board. I don't think Democrats are going to put a serious effort in there. That's almost certainly going to flip to Republican control. So the starting line for 2024 is a 50-50 Senate. And Democrats are basically on defense everywhere. They're just trying to re-elect their incumbents. They're not, as of now, maps can change, seriously looking at taking over any Republican-held seats. So every single Democratic incumbent or in an open seat, there's an open seat in Arizona, they need to win. And if John Tester does not win re-election, the path for Senate Democrats to hold a 50-50 Senate majority would then turn on their ability to win every other race or flip either Texas or Florida, which is a monumentally difficult task. So, yeah, the what's at stake in Montana for the Democratic Party is huge, because Tester's loss alone, even if they win everywhere else, could still deliver a Republican-controlled Senate.
Yeah, and I get alerts in my email when there's new campaign ad spending that happens, and I feel like half the emails I get are about more spending in the John Tester race.
You know, Montana's a small state. It has just two congressional districts. It doesn't have any major media markets. There's only so many places this money can go. But if there is one thing that Montana will not be short of this year, it's money in campaign ads.
Shaley, it is worth noting that this year is not like all other years for a Tester reelection bid. He has overperformed Democratic registration in the past. This is the first time that he will be on the ballot when Donald Trump is on the ballot. And the former president is popular in Montana.
Trump is popular in Montana. Yes, he won the state by 16 points in 2020. The last time Tester was up for re-election was in 2018, so he has not run with Trump. Trump did come and stump for Tester's Republican opponent four times in 2018, which is also a lot for a state like Montana. We have a million people total. And so I'm sure that will play a factor in this race again. Trump has endorsed Tim Sheehy, the Republican opponent, and certainly seems to care a lot about this race. The Emerson poll did show in early March that 14% of Montana voters who say they plan to vote for Trump also plan to vote for Tester. So we may still see this purple streak alive and well in Montana. It's hard to say right now.
That is what's known as split ticket voting. And Sue, I thought split ticket voting was dead.
I can't overstate how remarkable it would be if John Tester was able to pull 14% of Trump voters and outperform in that way. It just really doesn't happen anymore, and certainly not in the modern Senate, and certainly not in presidential election years where the top of the ticket just aligns so much more sharply down the ballot. You know, this is soft math, but political scientists and campaign strategists that I have talked to over the years say that they put the over-under of what like a down ballot candidate can overperform their top of the ticket on. It's usually seen at about 7 points. So, you know, if Joe Biden gets 47% of the vote in Montana, could Tester, you know, outperform him by 3? That seems mathematically possible. But you look at Montana in 2020, Joe Biden didn't crack 41% of the vote. So, you know, you're already looking at, let's say, I can't imagine Joe Biden does fundamentally much better in Montana in 2024. He's looking at having to outperform the president by, you know, 8, 9, 10 points to win. And like, sure, polling indicates that's mathematically possible. He's a very strong incumbent. He's going to have a lot of money. He has a lot of goodwill in the state. Like, the fundamentals for Tester doing that are strong, but as his recent history would tell us, when push comes to shove, people tend to stick with one party down the ballot in recent elections.
Well, I'm going to make a bold prediction, but I doubt President Biden is going to be campaigning with John Tester in Montana. I don't
Just
think
a
it
bold
would help
prediction.
Him. Yes.
No. I don't think it would help either one of them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So quickly before we go, you know, regardless of whether Republicans take control of the chamber, The Republican Senate conference is about to begin a new era.
Sure. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has already announced that he will not stand for leader again. He'll serve through the election, and then Republicans will have to elect someone in November. There's at least two senators who are likely to run, John Cornyn, a Republican of Texas, and John Thune from South Dakota. But, you know, who wins, how they win, what the Senate margin is all going to contribute to those factors. And if you think about if Republicans are successful and do win the Senate, a lot of the senators that will be coming into the chamber will be much more aligned with the Trump MAGA wing of the party than the old school establishment McConnell wing of the party. Think Tim Sheehy, who I believe has already been endorsed by Trump, Kerry Lake in Arizona, Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania. Like, these are people that represent sort of the new future of the Republican Party. So it's going to be a very different Senate next year, almost regardless of what the partisan split is.
All right. Well, we are going to leave it there for today. Shaylee Rager from Montana Public Radio, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm Tamara Keith. I cover the White House.
And I'm Susan Davis. I cover politics.
And thank you for listening to the NPR Politics Podcast.
These days, news comes at you fast. But the truth? Getting there takes time.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Embedded is a podcast that takes the time to look beyond the headlines.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
With original documentary storytelling. Listen to NPR's Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.
On NPR's Throughline.
We cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt, because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Why is everyone so obsessed with traditional wives or trad wives on social media? This week, we're talking about the viral videos of women making marshmallows and mozzarella from scratch, and how behind the sheen of calm kitchens and cute fits, there's some interesting pessimism about our modern world. And that's worth digging into. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.